Let me do this. Let me run to the newsmaker line. Scott Powell is there. Scott, hi.
Hello there.
How
hey,
are you?
Great to be with you.
Well, it's good to have you here. I was telling everybody, and I want to talk about your book again toward the end of the quick interview, but Rediscovering America, How the National Holidays Tell an Amazing Story About Who We Are. This is the only book that I'm realizing that's out there right now that's written from the perspective of true history that tells the redemptive course of America as revealed in the stories behind our holidays. So it's an important book, and I'll let you speak to that again later. But the article that you had really grabbed my attention late last week when I was on vacation, and I told John, got to have you on here, A Chinese Trojan Horse in Grand Forks, North Dakota. Are the Chinese aware that Beijing is not even close to Grand Forks, North Dakota, or are the Chinese more concerned because Grand Forks is close to something else they would very much like to be close to?
That's right. No, it's all about espionage within the United States. It always has been. These people are very determined to steal all our technology and have been doing it for decades, really.
Well, I know they have.
And this is the most advanced military technology. So this isn't the kind of technology they can steal from companies that are doing business in China. They've got to come here, and they've got to position themselves near a military base that would have this technology. This is the most advanced drone technology in our military.
Okay, and this group that they have, this Fufeng, I hope I'm saying that right, the Fufeng group, F-U-F-E-N-G group, they've come in because they're a front for the Communist Chinese people, for their political party, and they come in with this false front. And I think it's interesting in your story how you compare it to the Trojan horse. And we all remember the story of the Trojan horse many years before Christ, where they built a Trojan horse to take it into the city of Troy. And then when everybody in the city was asleep and they were all so happy because of this beautiful gift that had been given to them, all at once they come piling out of the Trojan horse, all the soldiers, and they kill and just take over. Well, what they're doing here is this company that they're coming in here with. And you could tell they're not coming in here like they are elsewhere. If I'm reading this right, Scott, they're not coming in here just to have more control over U.S. farming. They're really not looking for farming stuff. There's not enough land here, really, to do the farming. But
That's
there
right.
is enough for them to build a building close enough, because they're only going to be, what is it, 13 miles, 15 miles from?
Yeah, about 12 and a half miles.
Yeah, from Grand Forks Air Base. Well, that's the hub of the 319th, and that's where everything happens with our remotely piloted aircraft systems. When we took down—
That's correct. You're the most knowledgeable talk show host I've talked to about this.
Well—
Great. Good for you.
Yeah, don't say that too much. I'll start asking for more money. when we took the Al-Qaeda leader down 2 weeks ago, with a drone, it's quite possible that a lot of that flying was being done in North Dakota.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so now we're going to let the Chinese be that close to it where they could steal it. And I'm sorry, but I just believe if China gets in there and they try to start stealing it, they will steal it.
Oh, well, that's their purpose. So if they can get in and they can steal it, yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're very driven people. American people don't understand the Chinese. These are, the Asians have a term for Chinese people, and they call them the Jews of the East. You know, they're very determined people. They're very focused. They're kind of like have blinders on. And so they just focus on their goals and achieve them. And they'll do anything to get to their goals.
Well,
they're not relational people. They're not big-minded people. They don't embrace people outside of their objectives and their race, really, for that matter. They're, somewhat racially superiority oriented.
Yeah. I was trying to think back to some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that maybe led us to this point. I don't think China just came blowing over our West Coast, made themselves to North Dakota, and said, okay, let's buy a bunch of land here so we can do this. This has been an incremental incursion into our country. Some of it, I think, goes all the way back to the Obama administration, if not before him. But we had, like, student exchanges. and sister city friendship programs, and we had links to them, something like 200 cities. You set yourself up for a lot of problems when you do that.
Yeah, I mean, in 50 states, of course, each state's a little different. Some states would have only one sister city. Others might have eight sister cities. But 200 divided by 50 states is four per state, with some small states having only one. So many of the large states of California probably have a dozen sister cities.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing to me. And everybody that's come over from China, even leading up to, if not part of this Trojan horse deal, leading up to it, they came over and they had a program, and I don't remember the name of the program, but I remember there was a program that the then governor of North Dakota struck a deal with the Chinese, and they started coming over, and we had irregularities with student enrollments and faked grades and diplomas that were given to hundreds, really, of Chinese students that didn't even meet the basic requirements for graduation. In fact, some of them, we're not even sure where they are now. They're on those limited education visas, and when the visas were over, they didn't leave, and we have zero idea where they are.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right on that. That was Governor Hoeven back in 2010 that struck a deal to establish Confucius Institute at Dickinson State University. And that's what greatly expanded the enrollment of Chinese students, and that's where the scandal broke. And the reason I recounted more of that story was that the Chinese are very observant. So when they saw that that North Dakota basically just tried to brush this under the rug, and there was no legal penalties for the fraud that was committed, nobody paid a price for what happened.
That didn't get missed by the Chinese.
That emboldened them. That emboldens them to think, well, geez, we can get away with anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then, if you're the Chinese, why wouldn't you? I mean, you know,
right.
if your goal is to master us and to master our business and to master our lives, why wouldn't you if you think you could get away from it? Now, one of the things I thought was really smart by them, I think in North Dakota, they now have like 320, 330 acres. They didn't come in and buy.
Yes.
They didn't come in and buy 330 acres. They bought it from three different owners. So they probably got farmland that butted up against each other. And A didn't know they were buying from B, who didn't know they were buying from C. And then when all the deals closed, China's sitting there with 300 acres, and they're only 12 and a half miles from the airbase. That's pretty smart stuff.
Yeah, they probably did it through limited liability company, so that even the sellers didn't really know they were selling to the Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that part of the story, but it stands to reason that they probably would not want to really disclose more than they needed to disclose, and they probably paid a big price. I mean, I think that probably these were parcels of land that were not on the market for sale, and they sought out the owners of the property and made them an offer they couldn't refuse.
Well, and color me curious here, but I've just got to believe, and we're talking to Scott Powell, and he's going to talk to us about his book here in just a moment. But Scott, I've just got to believe this isn't an isolated event. This can't be the only thing that China is buying in the United States. And they might be buying up properties very close to air bases and military installations all over the country.
Well, I think that they are preparing for World War III, and we are the enemy.
Yep.
We really are. I mean, there's a lot of high-level intelligence about Taiwan that when it's believed that they have a plan to attack America simultaneous to their taking Taiwan, because if they attack America, then America will be sort of pinned down over here. And we'll just let Taiwan go. So it's a smart military strategy. Now, I don't know whether that'll be executed or not. I strongly favor the Americans joining together with the Japanese and South Koreans and even the Indians, and they have enough. Their navies are large enough. Their power is great enough to play that role of peace through strength. Just show force, show deterrent, and I think that the Chinese will not attack Taiwan. But if there's not an adequate deterrent, Taiwan is their apple of their eyes because Taiwan is the largest semiconductor manufacturer in the world.
Right.
Yep. They manufacture more than 60% of all the semiconductors used by all these countries, by Europe, the United States, and others. And then at the high end, those are the real advanced microprocessors in smartphones and artificial intelligence applications and robotics and many other things. They manufacture over 90% of those semiconductors.
Yeah, it's a huge.
It's incredible. It's actually almost mind-blowing that that has come to pass. That never, to have a stable world, you don't want to have such concentration because you never know what's going to happen.
And here's the thing:
everybody needs semiconductors. Our cars don't drive without them, right?
We found out. Look right here, right within 20 miles of me, where I'm sitting, we've got GM trucks that have been produced that are sitting in open fields everywhere because there's some little chip that they're still waiting for to put in those trucks and make them work. Well, what if every semiconductor we use in this country ends up being controlled by the CCP out of China? We're dead in the water, Scott.
I agree. I've been warning about this for years, really.
Yeah, well, I remember the last time we had you on, you were telling us about this before it even happened. Scott, our time is short. Let's take the last 2 minutes. Talk to me about Rediscovering America, how the national holidays tell an amazing story about who we are. Let's talk real quick about the book and tell me where my people can find them.
Well, first of all, it's like no other history book because its approach is to the central issue of our time, that our country is really now in a fight for its life. And so I have gone back and recounted from the very beginning of our country the stories that enabled us to get over great difficulties. The difficulties we face today, sometimes we feel overwhelmed by them, but we got through many challenging phases in our history right from the very beginning. So it's very important to connect with those stories. We're a remarkable nation. We're not perfect. Just as no one's perfect, no nation is perfect. But by the time we won the Revolutionary War, we had raised up so many wonderful, it was almost like we were blessed with great minds and great statesmen who crafted a constitution the likes of which has never existed in human history before. This constitution that everybody wants to trash or they don't understand its value gives people more freedom than any other system in the world.
Yeah.
Originally, the Constitution was designed to assure that government served the people, that the role of the government was to protect the people and serve the people's needs. And the legitimacy of government came only from the people themselves. And that means that every vote is important, every vote counts. And this is an election year, and it's really important that people get out and vote. And we're likely to face many more false flag events. If your listeners know what that means, means it's a staged event, for another purpose.
Yep.
So if they're trying to, they're trying to subvert elections or discourage people from voting, they might, create an event that would do just that.
Right.
And of course, many people feel that COVID-19 was staged to, expand the mail-in ballots and ballot harvesting. And indeed, we really did have a subversion of our electoral system in 2020. And, the jury's still out on the proof that would change the verdict of that election. But we'll have to see. There's an awful lot of evidence. And it's common sense, suggests that election was really, was greatly manipulated.
Yeah. Scott Powell, as you understand, Scott Powell, he knows his stuff. The book is Rediscovering America, and you can find this book, and you can find it at Amazon. You can find it at Target. You can get the Audible version, the Kindle store version. You can get them all, and it's all right there for you. So wherever you get your fine books, look for Rediscovering America, Scott Powell, a book that he did, I believe, along with Horowitz, David Horowitz. And so
David wrote the intro to the book.
Yeah,
and I know each other very well.
Yeah.
But as I tell you, that if it isn't one of the one of the top two or three history books that you've ever read, I'll give you your money back. It's wow. Incredible reading. It's not too long. It's only 200 pages.
Well, there you go. Listen, Scott, thanks a whole bunch. I mean, I've enjoyed this. You and I will talk again. I promise you that. But I appreciate very much you being
wonderful.
Here today.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott Powell. And again, you can find that book, Rediscovering America, anywhere.
Podcasts by Federated Media.